Dagger of Bone. Lou. Devereaux insisted we keep moving. With bodies piled up outside of Bouchen, it would only be a matter of time before someone alerted the local authorities. We needed to be far, far away before that happened. Fortunately, Devereaux didn't seem to sleep like a normal person, so he harnessed the horses immediately. Unfortunately, he suggested I join him. The wagon rocked beneath us as he eased the horses into motion. One of the twins drove the wagon behind us, the Amber Wagon, Claude had called it. I didn't care about its name. I only cared that Reed was currently inside it, and I was not. Reed and Coco. I should have been grateful they were getting along. I wasn't. Burrowing deeper in my blanket, I glared up at the stars. Claude chuckled.
A couronne for your thoughts, little one.
Do you have a family, Monsieur Devereaux? The words popped out of their own volition, and I resisted the urge to clap a hand over my mouth. With a knowing look, as if he'd been expecting such a question, he coaxed the horses into a trot.
As a matter of fact, I do. Two elder sisters, terrifying creatures, to be sure.
And parents? I asked, curious despite myself.
If I ever did, I no longer recall them.
How old are you? He chuckled, his eyes cutting to mine.
What an impolite question.
What a frustratingly vague answer. When his chuckle deepened to a laugh, I switched tactics, narrowing my eyes. Why are you so interested in me, Devereaux? You know I'm married, right? He wiped a tear from his eye.
Dear child, a pervert I am not.
What is it, then? Why are you helping us?
Pursing his lips, he considered.
Perhaps because the world needs a whit less hate and a trifle more love. Does that answer suffice?
No.
I rolled my eyes, crossing my arms and feeling petulant. A second later, my eyes drifted back to him of their own accord. Have you ever been in love?
Ah.
He shook his head, eyes turning inward.
Love, the most elusive of mistresses. In all my years, I must confess to finding her only twice. The first was a headstrong young shepherd, much like your Reed, and the second, well, that wound is not quite healed. It would be foolish to reopen it.
In all my years. It was an odd turn of phrase for someone who appeared to be in his 40s. How old are you? I asked again, louder this time.
Very old.
Odd indeed. I stared at him.
What are you?
He chuckled, his eyes cutting to mine.
I simply
am. That's not an answer.
Of course it is. Why must I bind myself to fit your expectations?
The rest of the conversation, indeed the rest of the night, passed in a similarly frustrating fashion. When the sky had lightened from pitch black to dusky gray to dazzling pink, I was no closer to figuring out the mystery of Claude Devereaux.
We're near Caesarine, little one.
He nudged my shoulder and motioned to the east, where wisps of chimney smoke curled into the golden light of dawn. Pulling gently on the reins, he slowed the horses.
I dare venture no closer. Wake your companions. Though her own lodgings have burned, I believe Madame Labelle has contacts within the city. Together we shall procure a safe place for your return, but we must say adieu for now.
For now. I studied his placid face in bemusement. It made no sense, him helping us, none at all. The suspicious side of my nature cried foul. Surely he had hidden motives. But the practical side told it to shut the hell up and thank him. So I did. He merely clasped my hand in both of his own, staring me directly in the eye.
Be safe, my darling, while we part. Be safe until we meet again.
I knocked softly on the wagon door. Reed? When he didn't answer, I heaved a sigh, resting my forehead against the wood. It's time to go. No response. Despair threatened to swallow me whole. Once, when I was a child, my mother took an influential lover, a man from La Noblesse. When she tired of him, she banished him from the chateau, but he didn't leave easily. No, this was a man unaccustomed to rejection, with nearly infinite funds and power at his disposal. He soon hired men to haunt the forest, capturing our sisters and torturing them to reveal the chateau's location, my mother's location. He was an idiot. I hadn't been sorry when she'd killed him.
I had been sorry when she'd cut open his chest and filled him with rocks, dumping his corpse into l'eau mélancolique. I'd watched him sink out of sight with a sense of shame. His wife would never know what had happened to him, or his children. "Fret not, darling," Morgan had whispered, her bloody fingers squeezing mine in reassurance. "Though a secret is a lie in pretty clothing, some secrets must be kept." But I hadn't been reassured. I'd been sick. This silence between Reed and me felt something like that, like leaping into the sea with rocks in my chest, helpless to stop sinking, to stop bleeding. Only it wasn't my mother who had cut me open this time. It was me. I knocked harder. "Reed, I know you're there. Can I come in? Please?" The door finally cracked open, and there he stood, staring down at me. I offered a tentative smile. He didn't return it, which was fine. Really, it was. If I kept saying it, maybe it had become true. After several awkward seconds, Coco swung the door open and stepped outside. Ansel followed. "We'll be right back," she promised, touching my arm as she passed. "We just need to be somewhere else." Reed closed the door behind me. "I should pack too," I said, my voice overly bright. Cursing internally, I cleared my throat and adopted a more natural tone. "I mean, there isn't much to pack, but still, the quicker we're on the road again, the better, right? The funeral is tomorrow. We only have today to convince Blaze to join us." I cringed into the silence. "If you need more time here, though, one of Claude's horses threw a shoe. So they aren't waiting on us, per se. More like Thierry. I think he's the troop farrier. Something about apprenticing for a man up in Amandine." Hunched over his bag, Reed gave no indication he was listening. I kept talking anyway, incapable of stopping. "He might be the only person alive who speaks less than you do." I gave a weak chuckle. "He's quite the brooding hero. Did you see him using magic against the bandits last night? Are he and his brother..." Reed gave a terse nod. "And did you happen to persuade them into joining us against Morgan?" Though his entire body tensed, he still didn't turn.
"No."
My nausea intensified to something akin to guilt. "Reed." Something in my voice finally made him turn. "Last night was my fault. Sometimes I just react." I blew out a frustrated breath, worrying a strand of my hair. "I didn't mean to lose your balisarda. I'm so sorry. For everything." He caught the strand of my hair, and we both watched it slide through his fingers. I willed him to hold me, to kiss away this tension between us. He handed me a clean shirt instead.
"I know."
The rigidity of his shoulders said what he did not, but it's still gone. I wanted to shake him. I wanted to scream and rage until I shattered the reproachful silence he cloaked himself in like armor. I wanted to tie us together until we bruised from the binds and force him to talk to me. Of course, I did none of those things. Whistling low, I trailed my fingers across the lowest shelf, unable to sit still. Baskets of dried fruit, eggs, and bread cluttered the space, along with wooden toy soldiers and peacock feathers. An odd coalition. "I can't believe you found others so quickly. I'd gone my entire life without meeting a single one." I shrugged and slid a peacock feather behind my ear. "True, most of that life I spent sequestered in the chateau, where no one would believe such a thing. And the rest I spent thieving in the streets, but still." Whirling to face him, I stuck a feather behind his ear as well. He grumbled irritably, but didn't remove it. "I know I'm the first to flip fate the bird, but what are the chances?" Reed stuffed the last of his clothing in his bag.
"Devereaux collects things."
I eyed the cluttered shelves.
"I can see that. No, he collects us."
"Oh." I grimaced. "No one thinks that's weird?"
"Everything about Devereaux is weird."
He cinched his bag shut, throwing it over his shoulder, then stilled, gaze falling to the table. Mine followed. A book lay open there, a journal. We both stared at it for a split second. Then we lunged.
Ah!
Snatching the book from beneath his fingers, I cackled and danced away. "You're getting slow, old man. Now, where were we?" "Ah, yes." I pointed at the leather cover. Another delicious journal. One would think you'd have learned your lesson about leaving these lying about.
He sprang at me, but I leapt atop his cot, swinging the pages out of reach. He didn't return my grin. A small voice in my head warned I should stop, warned this behavior, once entertaining, was now decidedly not, even as I opened my mouth to continue.
What shall we find in this one? Sonnets praising my wit and charm? Portraits immortalizing my beauty?
I was still laughing when a leaf of parchment shook free. I caught it absently, turning it over to examine it. It was a drawing of his face, a masterful charcoal portrait of Reed Diggory. Clad in full chasseur regalia, he stared up at me with an intensity that transcended the page, unnerving in its depth. I leaned closer in fascination. He seemed younger here, the lines of his face smoother, rounder, the cut of his hair short and neat. Save the four angry gashes peeking above his collar, he looked as immaculate as the man I'd married.
How old were you here?
I traced the captain's medal on his coat, vaguely recognizing it from our time together at the tower. It had been nondescript then, a simple piece of his uniform. I'd hardly noticed it. Now, however, it seemed to consume the entire portrait. I couldn't tear my eyes away. Abruptly, Reed stepped backward, dropping his arms.
I'd just turned 16.
How can you tell?
The wounds at my neck.
Which are from... He tugged the portrait away and shoved it into his bag.
I told you how.
His hands moved swiftly now, gathering my own bag and tossing it to me. I caught it without a word. The beginning of a memory took shape in my mind, blurry around the edges, sharpening with every second. How did you become captain?
Are you sure you want to know?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Reed threw his bag over his shoulder, eyes sweeping the clutter of the cot for any forgotten belongings.
If we're going to reach Le Ventre by nightfall, we need to leave now. Les Dents is treacherous, but at least it's a road. We're venturing into the wild.
I stepped down from his cot on wooden legs. You've been to Le Ventre before, haven't you? He nodded tersely.
A few months after I joined the chasseurs, I found a pack of loups-garous outside the city.
There won't be any bounty hunters or thieves there, he added. No witches either.
We killed them.
I grew roots at the realization. Glancing at me over his shoulder, he pushed open the door.
What is it?
The werewolves you found outside the city. The ones you killed to become captain. Were they? Reed's expression shuddered. He didn't move for a long moment. Then, curiously, he drew a peculiar knife from his bandolier. Its handle had been carved from bone into the shape of a howling. The breath left my chest in a rush. A howling wolf.
Oh, God,
I whispered, acid coating my tongue.
A gift from the...
Reed's throat bobbed.
From the Archbishop. To celebrate my first kill, he gave it to me at my captain ceremony.
I retreated a step, knocking into the table. The teacups there shuddered.
Tell me that isn't what I think it is, Reed. Tell me that isn't the bone of a werewolf.
I can't tell you that.
Shit, man.
I charged toward him now, reaching behind to wrench the door shut. The others couldn't overhear this, not when we were moments away from journeying deep into the belly of the beast, a beast that'd be much less amenable to an alliance while we carried around the bones of its dead.
Whose bone was it? Fuck! What if it belonged to one of Blaze's relatives? What if he remembers?
He will.
What?
He'll remember.
Reed's voice resumed that irritating steadiness, that deadly calm.
I slaughtered his son.
I gaped at him. You cannot be serious.
You think I'd joke about this?
I think it had better be a joke. I think a piss-poor joke would be a hell of a lot better than a piss-poor plan.
I sank onto his cot, eyes still wide with disbelief.
I can't believe you. This was your plan. You were the one who wanted to tear across the kingdom in a mad dash to gather allies. Do you really think Blaze will want to cozy up with the murderer of his child? Why didn't you mention this earlier?
Would it have changed anything?
Of course it would have!
I pinched the bridge of my nose, squeezing my eyes shut tight.
All right, we'll adapt. We can ride into Caesarine with Claude. Auguste might still join us, and Lavoisin has already agreed.
No.
Though he knelt between my knees, he took care not to touch me. Tension still radiated from his shoulders, his clenched jaw. He hadn't yet forgiven me.
We need Blaze as an ally.
Now isn't the time for one of your principled stands, Reed.
I'll accept the consequences of my actions.
I barely resisted the urge to stamp my foot, just barely.
Well, I'm sure he'll appreciate your gallantry. You know, when he's tearing out your throat. He won't tear out my throat.
Now Reed did touch me, the slightest brush of his fingers across my knee. My skin there tingled.
The werewolves value strength. I'll challenge Blaze to a duel to fulfill my blood debt. He won't be able to resist the opportunity to avenge his son. If I win, we'll have demonstrated we're strong allies, perhaps stronger than even Morgan.
A beat of silence. And if you lose?
I'll die.